Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Marilyn Hatton is a Catholic laywoman whose faith is as central to her identity as her gender. Her professional work included developing and implementing public policy for the status of women in the federal and ACT governments. Marilyn has been involved in the renewal movement in the Catholic Church for over 20 years as a member of local, national and international organisations. Her focus is on equality, dignity and respect for all.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for the privilege to do this. Today I'm reflecting on the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 to 37. My first response when reading this Gospel was that it is quite a difficult piece and a bit confusing if you don't know the context. There are a number of messages to clarify and heed. Matthew shifts back and forth. At verse 17, Matthew quotes Jesus saying, "Do not suppose I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill." So you think what law? Jewish law or God's law? So confusion. He's referring to God's law, I think. Fulfill prompts a question too. Does this mean he will show us how to implement the law? I think so. Matthew was preaching to a convert Jewish community around 70 AD, who were used to Jewish law, beliefs, and religious practices. These messages follow the Beatitudes and Jesus' word in Salt and Light. "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others." So from words of blessings and grace, Matthew leaps to law. He says Jesus is most emphatic about breaking the law, and you will be rewarded for keeping and teaching the law. Jesus urges us to excellence in verse 20 and warns his listeners that their Christian commitment must go beyond Jewish religious debates. "For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." In verses 21 to 22, Jesus makes clearer the law he expects us to follow. Its focus is not about murder and killing, as in the old Jewish law, but offences of anger and grievance against our sisters and brothers are more problematic. It is about how we live and interact day to day. Then Jesus emphasises that such issues must be reconciled immediately before moving on to honour your favourite cause. So maintaining good conscience and being faithful to God's law, balancing the push and pull of continuing to be kind and respectful, even when you are angry or busy, or speaking up against injustice in the law of the day. No hypocrisy or virtue signalling here. Humility and reconciliation are key. In verse 27, Jesus' example of men and adultery is clear and taken very seriously in God's law, followed by verse 30 rather dramatically stating, "Best to cut off the offending part of the body rather than being led astray in any way and breaking your relationship with God." In verse 31, he returns to adultery again, but it is not exactly clear what he means. Further, in verses 33 to 37, after enumerating a string of objects one might swear by, Jesus says, "You are not to swear at all. Plain yes or no is all you need. Anything beyond that comes from the devil." In other words, he is asking for absolute integrity in the way we deal with each other and commitment to the gospel message, which is contested on a daily basis and is often not black and white. It is also about loyalty to our gift of faith. Once we have the gift of faith, we are duty-bound to pass it on and make it relevant in our lives and to the world. I have picked up on the theme of reconciliation in Christ's message in this Gospel to demonstrate how it played out in recent events. Many of you listening will know that two of the decrees arising from the recent Plenary Council are to do with reconciliation. Firstly, the endorsement of the Uluru Statement of the Heart to ensure a voice and a channel for our First Nations people in the decision-making of our nation, an issue that we must surely put right. The other, the one I will focus on, is about the Church recognising dignity and respect for women and men in ministry. This, we hope, will trigger reconciliation with women who represent more than half our Church, a Church that has harboured clericalism, which Pope Francis describes as a cancer in our midst, has greatly discriminated against women, which does not sit comfortably with Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, that states, "In Christ there is no Jew or Greek, slave or citizen, male or female. We are all one in Jesus." The relevant motion on the draft Plenary Council agenda requested bishops to admit women to the order of diaconate ministry. This issue was chosen as a possible pathway to reconciliation because there has been extensive and excellent scholarship and two Vatican commissions on the issue. It has also been demonstrated that women were ordained to this office in the early church, so it was not as though it was introducing a new practice. Getting this motion agreed for the synod agenda and then passed by a two-thirds majority of those with a deliberative vote was most demanding. Only bishops had a deliberative vote, and the deliberative vote was the only vote that counted, while the ladies' vote was only advisory. Women's equality and their place in decision-making was the main issue arising out of the 17,000 submissions and consultations expressed with great passion, but this was not reflected in the Plenary Council summary documents. Instead, it was repeatedly presented blandly, reflecting none of the passion and meaning that was intended. Literally, thousands of informed Catholic citizens and committed religious and priests worked relentlessly, listening, learning, discerning, maintaining their own spiritual integrity, holding consultations, writing submissions and publications, and so the list goes on, to influence change to both rectify how the clerical hierarchical church operated and, importantly, to make it relevant in our time and into the future. To get this motion onto the agenda, it was worded to consider the ordination of Catholic women to the diaconate, so a limiting qualifier. On the day, this was not passed. A brave group of some 60 women and some men and one or two bishops held their ground, respectfully walking to the back of the room, saying that the agenda could not be progressed without saying why this motion was not passed, given its importance, and insisted on it being reworded. This group were faithful to the gospel message, standing up and being counted time and time again for the renewal that Pope Francis calls for and the inclusive model of church that would make our church credible in our world. They fired the light of renewal in a myriad of ways and gave it their all, for love of their faith over 3 hard years, COVID notwithstanding. The motion was passed on the second round of voting, again slightly reworded. Those attending the session were impressed that one bishop in particular listened and, demonstrating leadership, took conciliatory action, standing with the women. The motion 4.5 has now been made a decree, and this is very significant. While it has a long way to go to come into practice, it is an important step that brings women into the ministry conversation and recognises the value of so many women's skills who are already working in pastoral care and ministry without recognition or appropriate remuneration. Many people of faith in the Catholic Church are alienated by the institutional church's slow response to renewal and recognising the value of Jesus' gospel message in their lives are pursuing their faith and spirituality through the gospels and other forms of spirituality. They are looking to build the inclusive church we all yearn for based on the Catholic tradition, a church that inspires, consoles, and sustains.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.